May we be helped to commence our evening worship by singing together hymn 76 to the tune Arizona 284. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. When wisdom calls, they stop their ear, and headlong urge the mad career. Judgments nor mercies ne'er can sway their roving feet to wisdom's way. Glory to God, they ne'er shall rove beyond the limits of his love. Fenced with Jehovah's shells and wheels, firm as the everlasting hills. Hymn 76, tune Arizona 284.
Thank you.
evening, dear friends, to the book of Daniel for our scripture reading. The book of Daniel, chapter 4. The book of Daniel, chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed, and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all the beasts of the field. Had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head, upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field.
and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the Spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O King, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave a stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and that they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honour of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Now at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honoured him that liveth for ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honour and brightness returned unto me, and my counsellors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. May the Lord grant to us understanding concerning his word read. May the Lord teach us and help us to pray. O most holy, eternal, ever living, ever gracious, ever merciful Lord God, the place whereon we stand is indeed holy ground. We pray for due reverence and godly fear as we desire to come before Thee in the exercise of prayer and thanksgiving, making our requests known, Lord, unto Thee. Thou hast decreed, O Lord, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Lord, do forgive our faintings in this matter, and grant us now that needful grace and strength to call upon Thy great and holy name in sincerity and in truth. For Lord, Thou seest our hearts. Thou knowest us altogether. Man seeth the outward appearance. God seeth the heart. And we would desire to come before Thee then, dear Lord, in truth, and with that fervent desire that Thou wilt be gracious to us and remember us in our low estate, for Thy mercy endureth forever. We would desire to plead the precious and all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for we have an advocate with the Father, one to plead our cause and case in heaven's high courts above, and Thy Holy Spirit to help us to pray, because of our own infirmities. And so, Lord, we thank Thee for the witness of Thy Holy Spirit on earth and the witness of Jesus Christ in heaven, and pray that Thou will be our great high priest in heaven's high courts above, to plead our cause, to make it completely good. For Lord, we cannot come before Thee in any other way than in this way of Jesus Christ, as led and taught and helped and strengthened by Thy Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt continue favourably with us this evening, and help us to continue in word and doctrine, in faith and practice this evening, following on from the morning sacrifice, and now the time of the evening sacrifice. And we pray for all needed help so to do, for Lord, without Thee we can do nothing, but we can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth us. Lord, do be our strength. May Thy strength, dear Lord, be made perfect in our weaknesses. O Lord, Thou knowest the way that we take, the perfect way walking, the sore temptations from Satan, the trial of our faith. Help us, Lord, we pray of thee, to continue by the grace of God, waiting upon thee in prayer and praise and preaching. And may the services, Lord, today be a means of grace unto our waiting and exercised souls. Lord, our soul is thine. All souls are mine, thou hast said, O Lord. And only thou canst keep alive our own soul. We cannot, Lord. Our best endeavours miserably fail. But oh, blessed be thy holy name. Thou canst keep our souls alive and waiting upon thee. Day by day. Now, Lord, thou hast decreed that thy people should assemble together in the house of God, in Zion, in Jerusalem, which is the city of truth. And we thank thee, Lord, for the return of the Sabbath day, and that we can unite together in thine earthly courts, the place where thine honour dwelleth, and oh, to be as the heart of one man in our fervent desires and longings and exercises, Lord, before thee, and do perfect that which concerneth us each. Do sanctify to us the path of great tribulation. And Lord, it is great. Thou didst declare it so, and we live to prove the truth of every word that thou didst speak. O Lord, do then, we pray thee, grant us all needed grace and strength, equal to the day, according to thy divine promise, that as thy days, so shall our strength be. And so, Lord, might we be strengthened with all might in the inner man as we come to thy word. We pray for divine understanding, divine revelation, divine help, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, that we might be ambassadors for Christ's sake. And so, dear Lord, do bless the provision of thy house, satisfy thy poor with bread, and grant, Lord, that all that is attended to may redound to the honour and glory of God and for our spiritual profit. Remember all the assemblies of thy saints today and all thy ministering servants. May it prove to be one of the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And Lord, we pray especially again now for the cause of truth here at Maidstone. This God-wrought witness in this town. And oh Lord, we pray that Thou would enable the dear friends in their loyalty and love to continue waiting upon Thee in this time honoured sanctuary of God. And if it could please Thee, Lord, to bless the preaching of the gospel for the strengthening of their faith, an increase of love, and to follow the dear Redeemer, that wonderful and glorious example, that we should follow His steps. And now, Lord, many, many people reside in this town. Oh Lord, if it could please Thee that there may be a few brought in to hear the words of truth and righteousness. Oh, we live in a day, Lord, as Amos said, a famine, not of bread, but of hearing the word of God. Oh Lord, do them, we pray Thee. Grant that in the causes of truth there may be a little reviving, a renewing, a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Do quicken Thy dead elect who are yet in the womb of the covenant of Thy grace. Oh, bring them forth, Lord, by that new birth, that second birth. For Thou didst say, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. And so, Lord, do remember Thy cause and interest on this earth. In every nation under heaven, Thou dost have a few, in accordance to Thy promise to Father Abraham, that in Thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because Thou hast obeyed My voice. And so, Lord, do comfort and console and help the dear friends here, and grant them that strength and grace and help to persevere, to press on, looking unto Jesus. Remember all Thy ministering servants that labour here, and our friend in membership here, as he goes forth, that Lord, in Thy name, here and in other causes of truth, that Thou wouldest be his strength and stay. And our dear friend and brother, Lord, who has responsibility more or less of the cause here and the management of it, we pray that Thou wilt give to him that need for wisdom and help in all matters that of necessity have to be attended to. And as Thy word declares, and as it is so, that everything may be done decently and in order. And now, Lord, we would acknowledge Thy goodness, great goodness to us, in sparing our lives and maintaining our lot, and preserving us in body and in mind. And oh, we pray that as thou hast helped us hitherto, thou wilt help us all our journey through, and give us daily cause to rise new Ebenezer's to thy praise. Be with all thy dear people, wherever they are, whatever path thou called to walk in. For Lord, the heart of man knows its own bitterness. Those bitter things, Lord, those bitter hurts, oh, that one has to partake of. But, O Lord, may it be for this good end, to give an appetite, a greater appetite for the Passover lamb, for the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of this world, that greater love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, do sanctify to us each all thy dealings with us, that it may be for our spiritual profit, that we may be able to say as one of old, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. And now, Lord, do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, when thou hearest. O Lord, do mercifully forgive, remembering that we are but dust, and like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Do continue to bless the singing of the sacred hymns. Help me, Lord, to further wait upon thee in the ordained means of the ministry. And as the glory, Lord, is thine, may the benefits be ours. We would praise, honour, glorify the name and glorious person of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, God bless it for evermore. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening. We hold our monthly prayer meeting on Friday evening. And Mr. Marcus Funnell is engaged to preach next Lord's Day evening. And when the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be observed, God willing, during the evening service. As helps, there will be a red address during the prayer meeting and a red sermon during the morning service. The collection taken for the month for the general fund amounted to £500. We desire to thank the friends for their willing giving. Acknowledge the Lord's continued provision for his house. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn 199 to tune Geneva 641. I'll read the second and third verses, as it was the last half of the second and the first half of the third which brought me to this hymn this morning before breakfast. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus, sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it from thy courts above. Hymn 199, June, Geneva, 641.
Again, dear friends, by the help of God, I pray for your desire, your prayerful consideration, and the Lord's gracious help this evening as we desire to further wait upon the Lord in the text we had this morning, chapter 33 in the second book of the Chronicles, and we read verses 11, 12, and 13 again. The 33rd chapter in the second book of the Chronicles, verses 11, 12, and 13. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. When he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. What divine teaching, dear friends, and instruction there is in the Word of God for all the exercise, living family of the Lord's dear people. Really, there is no place that one can be brought into but what the Word of God will come where you are. We're not outside the boundary of God's Word. We're not outside the compass of God's divine mercy, love and grace. And so these accounts in the Scripture testify to us this divine truth. And so, this is why I read this evening in Daniel, because there we have a case that is in keeping with the case of Manasseh. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, glorying in himself, glorying in his kingdom, and in his palace, and attributing everything to what he had done. But friend, he had a dream. He didn't know the interpretation, and the dear man of God was called. And then, after that hour of searching and exercise before God, the Lord showed him what it was. And Nebuchadnezzar had to be brought right down. Yes, to eat grass like oxen, to be wet with the dew of heaven. Oh, how the Lord brought him into self-abasement. And then when the Lord restored him, oh, what wonderful words, friends of truth, he uttered. I know, if you look at the case of Nebuchadnezzar, on the one hand you may say, well, I don't think he is a child of God, or was. But friends, we have to view things in their entirety. We cannot take a premature view of the things of God. We have to wait and watch for the Lord's appearing, and for the blessed conclusion that was given by God to Nebuchadnezzar. A reprobate character could not utter those words and ascribe the glory to God that Nebuchadnezzar did in that fourth chapter, in the latter part of it. No, friends, that was wrought by God, and those, he said, who walk in pride, as he did, Nebuchadnezzar did, the Lord is able to abase. Well, it's the same with Manasseh. He walked in pride. Yes, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fool. And all what he did before the Lord dealt with him was through the pride of his heart. Oh friends, what a sin it is. It's one of the workings of the flesh, a sinful man. But, like with Nebuchadnezzar, then he had a son, Belshazzar. Now he knew what the Lord had done for his father. He witnessed it. He knew all about it. And yet, it never touched his heart. No, he just acted in a very solemn way. And he used the vessels of the sanctuary to drink wine in, and have that meeting and that oneness with his wives and concubines. They drank wine in them, and they praised the gods of silver, gold, brass, iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. He knew all this, but it never touched his heart. How unutterably solemn. And so, of course, the interpretation, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Meanly, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. In that night was Belshazzar the king slain. That's the solemn part to me. He knew all that happened to his father, but he never humbled himself before God. Nebuchadnezzar did, because he knew that the Most High ruleth. And so we come to Manasseh, and the Lord dealt with him in a very solemn and searching way, a very needful way, and a way that proves to us that he was a chosen vessel of mercy, and who of mercy needs despair, since Manasseh found the mercy and grace of God. And yet, you know, dear friends, the one thing that really struck me in this account, and that was this, that when in his affliction he besought the Lord, his God, is claiming God, the God of heaven, to be his God. And the reason being, because the Lord had claimed him as one of his children, because he dealt with him according to the tenor of his word. Now God always deals with his people according to the tenor of his word. Whatever it is one has done, if they are a child of God, the Lord will deal with them according to the declaration of his word. We're not outside the circumference of the word of God. We're all contained within it. The righteous and the wicked. The godly and the ungodly. Because the Lord speaks of his people and he speaks of the ungodly. And so we see here a wonderful demonstration of the sovereignty of God, of the mercy of God, of the great goodness of God, of the eternal choice of God. Oh, election is a glorious, glorious doctrine. And so the Lord's dealings with him that brought him to do that which he could never do himself. We do not have the strength or the ability to do anything spiritually in and of our fallen flesh. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. The three favoured disciples were in Gethsemane's garden when Christ was in agony. What do? They fell asleep. The flesh is weak. Very weak. It's been weakened through the Adam fall. And so we need divine strength. And that is by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of power. And that enables us to do that which is required by the Lord our God. Now when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. You can't beseech the Lord unless the Lord favours you with his Spirit. Moses said, I beseech thee, O Lord, show me thy glory. That beseeching of his heart was the gracious, sacred moving of the Spirit in his heart that engaged his heart to beseech the Lord. And our hearts have to be engaged by God to enable us to pray. Otherwise we will just pray like the Pharisee. But friends, the publican engaged his heart to seek unto God. And you see the effect. The prayer came from his heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then the answer of heaven. The answer from heaven. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And he that exalteth himself shall be abased. The publican humbled himself. The Lord exalted him. What with? The justifying righteousness of Christ. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And so, when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, an earnest beseeching due to the necessity of his case. And the Lord, you see, in these experiences of affliction and trial, to make us pray more earnestly. This is the effect. This is what happened to Jonah. He was disobedient. And then you know what happened. He was cast overboard. A great fish swallowed him up. And in that fish's belly, he cried unto God in his affliction. Friends, what a place it was to be brought to, wasn't it? The reality of it, the effect of it. He was bound, he couldn't escape. Impossible. But he was there those 2 days until the Lord delivered him. But then there we have the lamentation of his soul. And yet there was hope. There was hope. Although he said, out of the belly of hell cried I, and my prayer came in unto the Holy One of Israel. Faith was in his heart as he pleaded before the Lord. How do we know? I will look again toward thy holy temple. I'll look again. There's the activity of a God-given faith. All seemed, naturally speaking, impossible. But the faith of God's elect will always look to Christ and believe that he will appear. And the Lord did. And then, of course, he went and went to Nineveh and preached to the people. 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And what did the people do? Did they reject him? Did they cast him out? No. They humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. Who can tell if God will be gracious and turn from his anger? Who can tell? And from the king down, they were clothed in sackcloth and ashes and prayed unto the Lord. And then the Lord turned from his anger. Didn't destroy them. No. And friends, here is the demonstration. Oh, the grace of God. You see how wonderful it is. And the Lord didn't destroy them in Nineveh because they were brought to repentance. Besought the Lord his God. Besought the Lord his God. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire after the one expressed. The motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. So he besought the Lord his God. Friends, what a wonderful testimony. He knew the Lord was his God. And so, the sad and solemn things that he was left to do were all left behind. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of God in Christ Jesus. So he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly. Humility. Humility. Repentance. Oh, friends. A humble soul is a repenting soul. Now, repentance is not something that our fallen flesh can acquire. No. A man cannot repent unless the Lord appears and does something for him. And it's this. The Lord Jesus is risen and exalted, a Prince and a Saviour, for to give repentance unto Israel and forgiveness of sins. Repentance is a gift from heaven, friends. That's what it is. It's not in our fallen nature. It's a gift from heaven. And as the Lord gives true repentance, then at the appointed time, the Lord will give forgiveness. The testimony of truth, friends, I'm not here to tell you what I think. That doesn't matter. We're here to tell you what God says. Not what man thinks. But what God has said, and his word is eternal and can never change. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So this grace of repentance, friends, is something that brings glory unto the Lord, and you read of this concerning the people of God collectively. If my people, and this is the Lord speaking, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is the testimony of heaven. If there's an if here, friends, man cannot do it himself, but if the Lord indicts and gives that gift, then they will humble themselves. And you know, friends, human nature is proud. Pride is one of the cardinal sins of man. Pride cast out Satan from heaven. Proud as Lucifer, he was cast out. Satan is proud, and so is fallen man by nature. It's one of the workings of the flesh, pride. A man can't humble himself apart from the grace of God. Then you can humble yourself before mighty God. Now, there's a realization of the greatness of God, the majesty of God, the sovereignty of God. There's a realization of His glorious majesty and power and His greatness. And that, dear friends, humbles. This is what brings one to sweet humility. To have a realization of the greatness of God. Look at dear Abraham when he pleaded for the righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. That wicked city, the cities of the plain. And yet, you see, if there's righteous souls there, the Lord will not destroy it. But when every righteous soul is brought out, Lot included, he lingered down in Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the Lord being gracious to him, he was hastened to come out before the destruction. You know, again, you look at the case of Lot, as recorded in Genesis, and the question would rise in your heart, was he a child of God? Lingering in Sodom, that wicked city. We have to go to Peter's testimony and deliver just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Oh, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. The Lord delivered him. And he went to Zora, didn't he? That little one, little place. But as he went, the sun rose upon him. Rose upon him. And so, dear friends, we see how that as Abraham pleaded before the God of heaven, what did he say? Who am but dust and ashes before thee? There's humility. Sackcloth, ashes. Dear John the Divine on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw the glory of God in the person of Christ, I fell at his feet as dead. Humility. God is the great I am that I am. Moses had to take the shoes from off his feet for the place whereon he stood was holy ground. Indeed it was, friends. And you say, the Lord said to him, I am, hath sent thee, I am. So there's only one living and true God, three glorious persons in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the commandment is, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And thou shalt serve the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. There's no room, friends, no room for idolatry. None at all. It's the worship of the true God. My friends, what a mercy that we have had revealed and made known to us that the Lord is God and there's none else. And we worship the true and living God in spirit and in truth. And so, dear friends, the Lord deals with his people. He always has, and he always will. And this is a wonderful testimony of God dealing with one who is as far from God as you sung, as sheep can go. Well, he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Oh, what a mercy to be humbled. To this man will I look, who heareth my word, trembleth at my word, the humbleness of mind and heart, to be feeling nothing, though I be nothing, yet to be somebody by the grace of God. And so, how wonderful then, he humbled himself greatly. And what a demonstration this is of the eternal Son of God, who came into this world equal with the Father and the Holy Ghost. He was God, eternal God. I heard a minister say on one occasion that when the Lord Jesus came into this world, he laid his glory aside. Friends, the Lord Jesus never laid his sight glorious. He never did and he never could because he was God. He was veiled in his humanity. But oh, the heart of Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Dear Manasseh was heavily laden with his sin. Come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The rest of faith, the rest of love, the rest of peace. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. The yoke of Christ. That yoke of love. Well, the glorious example in all these truths is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because although he came into this world as God, he was ever God, yet he became man in that great mystery of godliness, and he took upon him a body like our own. And what do we read? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. What a sacred example for the Lord's people to follow. Christ humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And why did he suffer the cross? To save his dear people from death, destruction, and despair. What a beauty there is in Christ for the Lord's dear people to have open to their understanding more and more and more. If we're the Lord's dear people, as we journey on, Christ will be revealed and revealed and revealed to us, because this is a sacred office of the Holy Spirit of God, to reveal Christ, to testify of Christ. And so, dear friends, as we read the scriptures, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And so this man, Manasseh, he greatly humbled himself. It all begins with self. That's where it begins. Oh, the charge is laid to the heart of self. Yes. We can't say now the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Every man will die for his own sin. Every man the Lord will deal with according to his word. None can escape it, friends. The Lord deals in that word. I cannot just quote it exactly. The Lord will render unto every man according to his deeds. The Lord will render, and there will be a true rendering. The Lord Jesus, you see, he's the God of judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has appointed, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he raised him from the dead. The Lord Jesus has had all judgment committed unto him. He's the judge. And he knows everything, friends, about everybody on the earth. Known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. He knows everything. He knows the heart, the thoughts, the intents, the desires, the words, everything of every one on the earth. Oh, who can comprehend, friends, the glory and greatness of our God? Human nature can't, but by faith we believe. Everything is written in God's holy word. And so, this humility, great humility, before the God of his fathers. He didn't humble himself before the people. He humbled himself before the God of his fathers. You see, it was Manasseh. It was the Lord and Manasseh. And it'll be the same with us. It'll be God and you. Yes. There won't be a company when the Lord deals with his people. It'll be done personally. And it'll be done according to that which has been committed and done in accordance with the testimony of truth. So, he humbled himself. What a manifestation of grace. What a change has been wrought in his heart. What hath God wrought? Oh, he's wrought a miracle in the heart and life. Oh, Manasseh, and prayed unto him, prayed unto God. But he wasn't praying when he was engaged in idolatry and worshipping unknown gods. No, but now he realizes that only the Lord can do anything for him, that he stands in need of. And so he prayed, and he was entreated of him. Oh, friends, what a beautiful word, entreat. It means the Lord was not against him. The Lord was for him. Like dear Ruth said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people should be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Now when Naomi realized that she was so steadfast in her heart, she left off speaking to her about that matter. And the Lord sees the steadfastness of the heart of his people, in the sincerity of it. Because he was entreated of God. And as he pleaded with the Lord knew he was steadfast and sincere. And the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So he was entreated of God. And we read in the latter part of this chapter how his prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sin and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places and set up groves and graven images, before he was humbled, before they are, behold, they are written among the signs of the seers. And so, dear friends, we have this testimony concerning him. And Manasseh is in glory. Yes, this is the effect of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the effect of the Spirit of God working effectually in him. And heard his supplication. Heard his earnest entreaty. The Lord poured upon him the Spirit of Christ. And of supplication. Only the Lord can give it. And the Lord gave it to him and enabled him to supplicate God's throne. And then the Lord brought him again to Jerusalem and his kingdom. He brought him back to the city of truth. He brought him back from Babylon to Jerusalem, where the Lord had promised to be with his people and to bless his people in the temple which Solomon built, and where the ark was placed in the Holy of Holies. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Well, friends, what a mercy to be brought to acknowledge God. I'm thinking of Solomon and his dedicatory prayer and his address given at that time, and I must just refer to that, and then we shall have to close because of the time. But this is what dear Solomon prayed and desired to take place. I just want to read it exactly, and then we must close. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant, and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Can you say tonight, dear friends, that the Lord is your God? That you can say with Mary, my Lord and my God. She could say it. She could lay claim to the Lord, because the Lord had laid claim to her. Well, may the Lord own and bless his own word. What a fullness there is. And may we further wait upon the Lord in reading and meditation in our homes, and as we desire to seek unto God with humility and meekness and love. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 448, hymn 448, tune Haslingdon 544. When Jesus undertook to rescue ruined man, the realms of bliss forsook, and to relieve us ran. He spared no pains, declined no load, resolved to buy us with his blood. No harsh commands he gave, no hard conditions brought. He came to seek and save and pardon every fault. Poor trembling sinners, hear his call. They come, and he forgives them all. Hymn 448, tune Haslingdon 544.
the services today. We would thank thee for that God-given help afforded us in all our need and dependence upon thee. For thou hast decreed, dear Lord, that thy word should be preached. We thank thee for the hymns that have been chosen and sung in keeping with the truth preached. May all redound to the honour and glory of thy great and holy name, and be for our profit and edification and profit, and for our eternal good. Do dismiss us with thy blessing. Grant journey and mercies to all as we travel to our home. And may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the Father's love, the communion of thy Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen and amen.